was a little documentary about Queen Elizabeth, who has celebrated her Diamond Jubilee. And you know, what I've been thinking about this week is just the whole concept of legacy. Legacy just has been something that's really been on my mind. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Kelly?
What is Diamond Jubilee?
A Diamond Jubilee is the celebration of 60 years that she has been on the throne, leading the British Empire. Mm-hmm. So that's really I really want to think about legacy, just in terms of not just milestones, but really focusing on the process itself. For each of us, we're all going through a journey of an undetermined amount of years, and certainly always want to be cognizant of this type of legacy that we're leaving behind, amen? So, 60 years is a diamond jubilee. So we're gonna talk a little bit about diamonds. What do we know about diamonds? Anybody? What do we know about diamonds?
The hardest substance.
Hardest stone.
Hardest stone.
And known to man.
Indeed, hardest substance. Highly prized.
Beautiful brand.
Sometimes get them when you get married, sometimes not.
No.
It's not about the diamonds.
Sometimes you buy them for yourself.
And it was a food. So they're tough and they're valuable and they're lasting, right? So I wanted to really think more about in terms of a physical diamond, but I wanted to think about the concept of a spiritual diamond, which is of far, far greater value. Amen?
Amen.
Because I am amazed how our awesome Lord has used suffering, even in our midst. I mean, when we go through the prayer request, you only have to sit here one Sunday to figure out we got some suffering going on, right? Mm-hmm. So rather than focus on, and of course, we always do want to be praying for each other and focusing on alleviation of suffering, certainly that's what we're called to do. But I want to talk more about not just the product, okay? But I want to talk more about the process that we're going through. So we have a scripture today. I'm mixing metals and gems, so forgive me. But the closest verse that I could think of is found in the book of Psalms in 66:10. And it's speaking about how we are led through a process of refinement. Would anyone always like to have us have someone else read the scripture? If that's possible, if any volunteers, if not, I'll read it myself.
Andrew,
hey.
I'm dyslexic.
Oh, the words jumble. Yes?
Sorry.
What? No, that's okay. It's probably be a little hard for people to read.
Brenda said children.
I will, but I don't know. I just want to make sure I just didn't step on somebody.
Go
for it. For you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out into a place of abundance.
Amen. This is one of my favorite scriptures, just because I call it one of the many splat verses in the Bible. Those ones that are just, oh, man, I am going through fire and water. And yet, there's hope within that. And it really, when you're looking at structure, when you're reading scripture, of course, getting into even the words and the way the words are presented have significance. So I just wanted to look at that. Okay, question. Who's the you?
All of us.
Now, you have tried us. Oh.
God.
God is the you. Right? Now here's the thing, but mostly we blame it on the devil, don't we? The devil's under attack. And this person, does the devil mention it there anywhere?
No.
No, God's mentioned how many times? Count them.
We have five underlined.
Five underlined. You have tried us, oh God. You have refined us.
You forgot
to underline. You. Oh, did I forget one?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's
six. More to use. What does that tell you? When something's repeated a lot in one passage, it says, pay attention. I'm talking to you. So what's he doing?
God.
What's he doing throughout this passage?
He's reminding you of what God you have done in the past.
He's bringing you through some stuff, right? He's laying it on you. And he's supposed to deliver us from evil? Not necessarily. Not necessarily, because, and this is one of those rare verses we see just in the passage, what he's doing and why he's doing it. Little hint. What's that little word down there?
Yet.
Now when you see a yet, that's a turn. Things have turned, things have changed.
It's like a button, yeah.
It's like, yes. Or a however, or nevertheless. It means there's been a shift. And so you really need to change your focus from what all this, all this stuff that's going on. And it's not to make what we're going through any less important, because it is important. But it's not the focus. Amen? It's not the focus. He wants to get you from that to where?
A place of abundance.
Amen? The yet is the important part of that. So, and I tried a new thing, not stapling the papers together. See if that would be easier. It probably will end up being more challenging. Let me put that there. I really wanted to talk a little bit more about, switching from the verse into, you always want to do an application. Not that the word by itself isn't a good thing, that you want to, of course, be, but you want to apply it, right? So I want to do, what do you do? How do I take this information and how do I apply it to my life, for maximum benefit? Does anyone do any devotional study of the Bible? Do you do devotionals? Has anyone ever done a devotional? Does anyone know what a devotional is? Kelly would like to know what a devotional is.
I have it on my phone.
There you go.
Yeah. Every day.
We got smartphones now. You don't even need a book.
I still like to use my Bible.
The Bible's good. This is sort of a supplement to the Bible, where you're taking the Bible, but you're taking one verse or one thought, and you're focusing on it. And you're devoting your time to studying one concept. Which is good, because we basically get hold one thought in our head at a time, right? Pretty much, if we're lucky, we need a whole one thought for maybe 10 seconds. So, that's the whole point. Now, I had the good fortune to work for a wonderful woman who knows a lot about suffering. and that is Joni Erickson-Tada, the beautiful blonde woman who had the diving accident. Hard to believe, but this summer will be 50 years. 50 awesome years since she had her diving accident at age 17, where she broke her neck, became a quadriplegic, and then the Lord has used her in mighty, mighty ways, really, to minister. But, you really need to spend that time in contemplation to really build the kind of relationship with the Lord that you're going to need when you go through those fire and water. And that's, you don't get to the yet until you get to the time that you've been spending, and investing that time wisely in, becoming a spiritual diamond. Because look around the room, people. Who do you see? Look around the room. Who do you see?
We see a person.
Well, the world sees a bunch of crippled people. Well, what do we see? What are we supposed to see?
We saw God's love in people.
Potential brothers and sisters in Christ.
We see, or we should see, diamonds in the making.
Oh, think about that.
Chew on that.
Well, not everybody knows that it takes a lot of pressure and years to make a diamond.
That's the point. Well, we're starting off talking about physical diamonds. But what's true in the physical world is true in the spiritual world,
right,
as well. Maybe more so. That pressure, that suffering, which we pray for relief from, of course, because you want to not suffer. But I want us to see it in the larger context of it being part of a plan to make us those spiritual diamonds that we wants us to be. Why? For our own good? No, so we can help others, right? Amen. Now, speaking of diamonds and 60 years, I had a thought. Bartimaeus Baptist Temple's Diamond Jubilee should be coming up next year. Am I right about the timing?
Yes, you're almost right.
Yeah. I know we keep going back and forth. Was it 15? Was it 59? Or was it 58? I just want to plant that little thought in our heads.
I think
that by this time next year, we could be having a Diamond Jubilee year of our own. And should we not think of what your mom and your dad, Pastor, have accomplished through 60 years of ministry? Does that not deserve to be celebrated?
Yes.
Amen.
Glory to God.
I don't want it to pass without us acknowledging
it. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, indeed. So I just wanted to sort of plant that idea in your heads. And that, I don't know if we'll have crowns or anything.
Maybe one.
Maybe we'd have a crown. But the crown goes to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. So, Heavenly Father, we just praise you and we just thank you for the Diamond Jubilee in the making that you have so faithfully led this wonderful church through fire and water for 60 years, and we're still here. We're still here. And that deserves to be celebrated. And that is something I'm really looking forward to being a part of. And I think all of us can look hopefully towards the future because we get really wrapped up. I do myself get really, really wrapped up in the suffering. But let's focus on the yet. Yet you have brought us into a place of abundance. And we want to bring more people into that place of abundance. Why should we not be packed out in this humble house of the Lord after 60 years? That is something to say, praise God, and thank you. So we're looking forward to that. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord. We praise you and thank you for the suffering that allows us to celebrate the diamonds. May there be many, many diamonds yet to come. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, in the holy name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.